This is another Red FM podcast. And remember, if you enjoyed this episode, for more podcasts, check out redextra.ie. It's full of great Red FM content.
Hello and welcome to The Life Hustle. This is episode 23. Things are a lot different since I recorded my last episode in the studio at Red FM. I am recording this from home. As most people, I am in lockdown and yeah, sure, we're part of very topsy-turvy times at the moment, but all doing our best to keep the chin up and do our bit and get through these times. So if you are a new listener to The Life Hustle, thank you for tuning in and welcome. The Life Hustle was set up during a time of change in my life, just kind of over a year ago. I just was really tired of the pressures of social media. I wanted to do kind of a social good project where at the time I spent some time volunteering in different charities, and it really opened up my eyes to a world outside my own little privileged, comfortable world. And from that, the idea of creating a podcast where I put something positive into the universe by talking to some of the people that I meet along the way who are doing good out in the real world themselves and whose stories uplift and inspire me. So I hope this episode gives you the same feeling. So I am very excited to introduce you to my guest. Now, it's not just for this episode. We're going to do three episodes because she is a fountain of information in her field. And I just really enjoy listening to her and picking up tips from her. So I'm super excited to get her onto this podcast. This first episode is called A Leap of Faith. And just listen, because you're going to understand why. And I hope it gives you a little bit of a leap of faith in yourself as well from listening to this. And let's go. So this is Clara Cooks. Clara, welcome.
Hi, how are you?
So Clara Cooney, we know each other for a while. Our paths crossed one Christmas. Now, actually, if I'm to really be honest about it, it was a few days before Christmas, if you remember, and we met at the work drinks. We went to the Metropole Snug with mutual friends.
We did. It was December 2018, yes. Where we caught up and drank plenty of champagne, all of us.
We so did. But I was so completely in awe of just your general enthusiasm and your passion when you spoke that time about your Christmas dinner prep and like all the gorgeous dishes that you make every year. I mean, my Brussels sprouts now have never been so amazing since I met you and took your advice with the bacon and the pine nuts.
I love that. I love that you actually took something from it and went home and made it.
Well, you just have this way about you. You know, when you meet someone who's really into what they do, like I hadn't met you, you know, I obviously know your sister Amy from years ago, and we hadn't hung out, even though we crossed paths a bit. And it's the first thing that came for me was like, this girl just lives for cooking and for food, and you made me excited about it. I left you wanting to go home and participate in a Christmas dinner that to me was usually tedious to put together.
I love Christmas. Actually, I just love cooking in general. Well, I'd want to if I'm going into the business of it. So there you go.
Well, Clara, when I first met you, you had quite a hectic, high-flying corporate career. And very soon after that, you decided to take a giant leap of faith to retrain in an entirely new industry in the food industry. Tell us how
I did. Yeah, I mean, look, my interest in food and the business of food, it was always there. You even knew when we were sitting down, I was in a completely different field. I was in HR and talent management, and I, you know, but my passion for food and for cooking was always there. And I also, I was really like the education of food. I love teaching people about food. I love people trying my food. It's just the pleasure you get from food within the home as well. And I was always entertaining, and the right business idea never came about. I was always dipping in and out of ideas. But, you know, the right one wasn't actually there for me as yet. And just before I met you, Emer, not long beforehand, I started working with a life coach. And life coaches, oh my God, they're amazing. And we focused on all areas of your life. They don't just look at your career. And I always used to say to her, oh, my career is going great. But actually, after loads of our one-on-one sessions, it turned out at the time that my wonderful corporate career was actually holding me back from doing what I wanted to do in life.
Okay.
And in March then of 2019, I had been on so many flights already that year. I think about 20 times I'd been sitting on a plane. I lived out of a suitcase. I was in hotel, from hotels to meeting rooms. You know, and my life kind of changed. I was getting stressed. I stopped exercise. I barely saw any friends or family.
So the joy of the job wasn't.
Yeah, it wasn't there anymore. And I just kind of felt that I was always rushing around. I was never present. Mm-hmm. And I knew I needed a change. And you know, look, I was sitting with my life coach, and you know, she just said, "Look, this is." You have to make a decision about what you want in life. And I was there going, what am I going to do? And even at that moment, I didn't exactly know what that was going to look like.
Okay.
I knew it was most likely going to be around food, but I didn't know what it was going to look like. But I took the leap. I handed my notice in, and I knew I was going to take some time out. So I handed my notice in, and I finished up in June of that year. And it's amazing what happens when you stop. Because when you stop, you're... Mm. Mind starts to open up to actual ideas, to different things. I was getting back in, I was feeling the joy again of just being alive, you know, and that was it. That was what happened with me, really. That's where it came about, where I decided to do it and, you know, move on to the next stage of my life.
I love that you say that you went to a life coach, because I guess if it were 10, 15 years ago and someone had suggested that to me, I would have gone, oh, sure, like, what's the point in doing that? And then if you said it to me 5 years ago, I was just trying to keep the head above water. Again, I probably would have, you know, just kind of not seen the value in it. And
yeah,
I did do it then a couple of years back, and it was a game changer for me.
Amazing.
And again, amazing. I gave up things and I cut ties on professional career things that I thought I had to carry on for a time. And you know, you kind of you have things imposed on you through your life from family, friends, work, and we tend to kind of carry them, and it's lovely to let go of the layers every now and then and find yourself under them.
And I think, as you would have known now from a life coach, you know, the great thing about a coach is that they actually it's already within you. But they just help you pull it out of yourself and make you realize you end up getting a couple of aha moments, and it's just, that's it.
It's magic.
You know, making the decision. Yeah.
It's magic. And I love, like, I think whether everything is okay in your life and you are, you know, you believe everything is fine, it's still really good to go and talk to somebody neutral every now and then, just to kind
totally.
Of get everything into alignment and make sure that you're on your own personal right path. In whatever way, be it spiritually, you know, emotionally, financially, relationships, whatever, you know. So
absolutely.
One of my favorite women, Clara, is Brené Brown. And
mine, I love her. Yeah.
Really? Oh, I love it. Well, she teaches that the best things, as you know, often come from places of vulnerability.
Yeah. So
were you afraid when the time came to tell your family and friends about your idea to change paths?
You know, that's really funny that you should bring that up, Emma, because I've always had this really strong career, you know, and people have always said, oh, she's got an amazing career. And, you know, I was then turning around and going, oh, I'm quitting my career and I'm going into something completely different. And the vulnerability actually sits within ourselves. And I think we think about things too much sometimes, and we start to overanalyze all the time as well. So it becomes a bit more stressful than actually what it is. So I told my sister first, who she started her own business a couple of years ago. So she has been through all of it as well. She left corporate world and did the same thing as I did.
Okay.
And she was great. She actually, you know, she was saying, she was delighted I was finally doing it. She said, I know you were unhappy in your career for such a long time. And it's funny that somebody from the outside sees it, but you know, I suppose I knew it, but I wasn't doing anything about it. So it was great that I had, you know, that chat with her, and I knew I had her support at, you know, as well. So telling my mom and dad different, they're I suppose they're more traditional, but my dad has his own business. So yeah, you know, it was a bit of a slow conversation with them and explained to them what I was doing. And yeah, you know, initially they said, God, you're mad to be doing all of this. But they completely then supported me. They were fantastic.
Don't they come from a time of, you know, you train up in one thing when you leave school and you have your job for life. And those days are gone.
That's it. Those days are gone. But they've been amazing. I mean, my mum has been absolutely amazing. And, you know, she comes from a background and a family of food as well. So, you know, she's thrilled about it. So I think, you know, it takes more courage from yourself than actually saying those words at the start than actually doing it, because they're always there to support you, as are your good friends. I mean, I think your really good friends and the ones who are there, they're going to be the ones egging you on, going, do it, this is brilliant, I'm so proud of you. So it was great, and that's then, I suppose, also released a little bit more for me about me going, okay, right, I'm ready now, and I think I know what I want to do. And it was about starting it off and, you know, looking at how I was going to plan it as well, and getting into the business of food for myself. Yeah.
So before we go into that, take us back a little. You mentioned there that your mum and your family had roots in food anyway. So as a child, were you surrounded by family who baked and cooked at home, and were you kind of part of that process growing up?
Yeah. Oh my God. Every memory, everything in our family was around food. I always remember a lot of people coming and going from our house. I think that was old school way as well. There was always a lot of visitors. There was always a lot of cousins and relatives arriving. So, you know, mum was always baking. There was always like fresh cakes and breads baked in the house. And I even remember the feeling of as a child of standing up on a chair next to her on the counter in the kitchen, aww, baking with her. And, you know, my gran was the same. You know, you'd go out to my gran's house and there was always cakes baked, always, constantly, no matter what day of the week it was. And then, you know, if I go back a bit further, like my great-grandfather, now I never met my great-grandfather, but my mum tells me stories. And he had an organic vegetable farm. I know. And my mum would tell me the stories about going around on the horse and trap with the vegetables, delivering them to people's houses. And she used to talk. She still remembers the flavor, the taste of the vegetables. They'd come, like, you know, I know it's trendy now, as they say, from farm to fork, but that's what they did. That's what they had. They had everything brought to them from the farm to the actual kitchen table. And, you know, he used to go into the English market. I mean, the English market was up and running back then as well, and they'd get all their fresh meats from there as well. So they ate really well. So my grandfather, he worked in one of Cork's oldest bakeries, and it's closed now, but he was head baker there. So there was always fresh breads, and even mum remembers down in the bakery watching him kneading bread, and, you know, a load of bakers in there. And just even me thinking about that, it just gives me goosebumps, you know, that was there in my family for that long. And, you know,
that's incredible.
Growing up, it is. It's incredible. And, you know, when we were growing up as a family, we had four girls in our family, but we all had turns every day. You either lay the table, you cook with mum, or you clear the table. And of course, everyone loved the cooking with mum part. So they were, like, you know, simple, your bacon and cabbages, your roast chickens. But every day we had really good food. And homemade, that was it. It's just homemade. And I just learned to appreciate that, and also learned to experiment a bit in the kitchen as well, you know. So,
but it just shows the importance of including our youth and our kids in the process. Like, I realize that I have spent the last probably 4 of the 5 years of Erin's life, my eldest, going, oh, look, can you get out of the way there now, because mummy has to make the dinner, and can you just go in there and watch telly because I have to put on the dishwasher and get this on the stove. And it's only since the lockdown that I'm pulling over the chair, just as you said that, it really smiled, because I'm really including her, and she doesn't want to watch the TV, and I'm like, oh my God, this is how it should be. This is, you know, nurturing a child, and this is homeschooling. Like,
It is homeschooling. I mean, you know, they're lifelong skills, to be honest. And I look at my sister, like Amy now, who you know, and her three kids, and they are always in the kitchen cooking with her. And her eldest, Ellie, she's 12. She bakes on her own without her mum. I get pictures now nearly every second day of new cakes or biscuits or whatnot that she's baked. And I'm so proud. You know, but that's also coming through the family as well. You know, it was instilled in Amy as well, and growing up, and Amy's, you know, brought it into her children as well. So it's really wonderful. You know, I'd consider myself and all my family to be very privileged. You know, I feel really privileged to be able to grow up in a house where food was a huge part of our lives, and you know, being able to cook at home with our parents and, you know, understand food as well. So.
And I think food with family and friends, it's a thread that knits us all together, isn't it? It really, like, you discuss happy things, sad things. Like food is kind of that comfort when you're in a good or bad situation. When you come together with people, there's always food, and food kind of softens the blow.
Always food. Yeah. And like, you know, when I was growing up as well, I mean, my dad was, he was very strict about us always having dinner together. Okay. Didn't matter, we had to sit around the table together at dinner, and I think there's some families that still do that, but it's a little bit lost because our worlds have got much busier now,
and there's many distractions.
Yeah, and I just think that it is a half an hour of a time, and it does, you know, it's really good bonding, and it's lovely to sit as a family and talk. So, yeah.
Yes, all my family are going to be like rolling their eyes now when I jump out of bed tomorrow. I'll be like, we're sitting at the table together. I'll be like, Brady Bunch mom.
You'll have to give them all the chores now, Emer, you know, every day, to be laying the table, cooking with mom.
Or maybe mom will put her feet up.
Yeah, exactly.
So tell me, Clara, how did you decide then yourself to upskill and train? And what was that experience like? And, you know, did you have a mentor in that process? Or who did you look up to when you did finally choose a course? Was there one kind of go-to course that you always thought, this is the one that I would love to do?
Yeah. I'd say now I could be looking back at nearly 10 years, Emer, when I started talking about doing the Ballymaloe course. Besides Dorina Allen being an absolute icon, and being able to work or study under her, I loved Rachel Allen. I loved how engaging she was with her audience. And just, you know, looking at what people get out of Ballymaloe as well, I really admire like Clodagh McKenna, Lily Higgins, and both of them are past students, and they've gone on to have wonderful careers. And I knew I didn't want to be in a restaurant. I didn't want a restaurant or a cafe business.
Okay.
But I wanted to really work around, I suppose, the education of food in some way or another. And I wanted to perfect my own cooking skills to the next level. I knew I could cook, but I just wanted to be able to have the confidence to turn around and teach others to cook.
Okay.
So It was a no-brainer for me about Ballymaloe. I didn't even have to really go and ask, you know, anyone, what course should I do? I was just like, I'm going to Ballymaloe.
And it's on the doorstep as well. We're so lucky that it's literally down the road
for us. On the doorstep, exactly. So they invited myself and mum down in June, and we went down and we had lunch with Dorina and a few people at the school, and met Dorina's son Toby. He gave us a tour of the school, and we saw the students, and we stayed for a demo and just got a feel for what it was like.
Okay.
And I was like, I just walked out of there going, I can't wait. I think it was less than a week that I signed up and was starting, and I decided to do the whole hog. So I said, right, I'm moving down there. You're not going to see me for 3 months. So, you know, it's a real, real intensive 12-week course.
Okay.
A lot of people might think it's just going down and doing cooking, but, you know, you are up at the crack of dawn. You're on the farm with chores, either doing, you know, out in the greenhouses. You could be down at the dairy. You could be in doing your stocks. You could be doing various different things first thing in the morning before you even get into the kitchen to cook. And you have an intensive cooking kind of 3-4 hours in the kitchen, and then you know, 45 minutes for lunch, and you're back into demo rooms. So Rachel Drina and Rory O'Connell, Drina's brother, they did one of them did the demos every single day.
Okay.
So they would do the demos in the afternoon. And it was just phenomenal just to be able to sit there and watch them and how they cooked and how they worked. It was fantastic.
You know, I actually love watching Rory's show because I always I love them all, but I'm always drawn to his show because I feel like I learn how to, you know, I can throw some nice dishes together, but a lot of my food would be more modern dishes. And I feel Rory is the one who I watch and I learn how to cook traditional pieces of meat, how to put a lovely, you know, kind of in season meal together.
Yeah.
That maybe it's kind of that lost skill from the last generation to this, that I feel he kind of is the link to that.
Yeah, he's amazing. And I swear to God, I've never seen any person be able to plate up something so that looks so fantastic. We'd all be trying to copy his plating. he's just phenomenal at it. But he's so passionate. And he was also, Rory being very early, he'd also be out gathering an awful lot of the actual flowers and bring them in, and he'd do up the whole school. I mean, you'd walk into the entrance and there'd be a whole new display of flowers or beautiful fruits or whatever was in season, it was there for us. And Rory did all of that as well, so he was a real creative man, but fantastic. It was just, you know, that teaching with them was really wonderful. So I also had an outside mentor. She was a woman that I worked for in my last job. She was the vice president of the company that I worked for. And she left her career shortly before me, actually, after being 24 years with the same company.
Wow.
And she basically went back to college and she knew what she was going to be doing, and she went into real estate and she got her license. She set up her own business. She did absolutely everything. She was just phenomenal, and she still is. I call her all the time. We're very, very close, very good friends.
It's great to have somebody like that you can pick the phone up to, because amazing. Especially when you're going out as an entrepreneur on your own, it's very important to have someone on your days that are a little bit tougher to get motivated, that you could pick the phone up. Can I bounce off you? Can I, you know, pick you?
She's amazing. She's amazing.
Clara, I was saying to you before we started this episode that I kind of always believe that if I have enough kind of self-belief, that some of the things that once, you know, may have seemed impossible, they do always have a strange way of working out. And for you, in refocusing all of your energy into doing what you love with food, you are after finding yourself in business now. So so many of my friends follow your Clara Cooks page on Instagram. So tell me, how did the business idea come about day one?
So soon after, I actually, I went down to Ballymaloe and knew I was going to be there. But I do the Catherine Thomas boot camps every year. They're fantastic. But when I was there, I realized that there was an awful lot of people who actually don't know how to cook. So women with families who have never been taught by their own mothers how to cook from scratch. Really kind of different world out there, because you see, the convenience is out there, Emer. You can go to the supermarket and buy convenient food whenever you want. So a lot of people are a little bit afraid of even trying. And because it's so convenient not to have to do that, they don't bother at times. You know, it's the fear of failing in cooking, where I look at cooking as fun and just, you know, really therapeutic. And I love being in the kitchen. And so I spent a bit of time with a woman after the retreat. Spent a few days with her in her house, looking at what she had in her kitchen, looking at the essentials of what she had for cooking. We did a clean out of the pantry. Have you ever done a clean out, Emer, and you find your spices from 5 years previous and still sitting in your drawer?
I am not lying, but I did this today. Timmy was working. He doesn't usually work on a Saturday. And he was working today, and I just tacked the cupboard where that is. It partly because I had a lot of stuff that was at, say, kind of eye level for the kids to reach that was way too dangerous for them. So I wanted to create some space in the cupboards. But the stuff I found, I nearly died. I was like, oh my God, have I been using this? And then I found other flavorings and spices and herbs that were in at the back that I forgot about them.
You forget about them. Yeah, exactly. But it was the same with her. And it was because she didn't use them, to be quite honest with you. So, you know, if you're not using them regularly, they're going to just stay there and go out of date. So we had a great chat about that and about having what essentials you needed in your pantry. And you don't need to have loads and loads in your pantry. You just need to have the essentials that you're going to be using on a regular basis. So okay. We did a clean out of the pantry. We went into the shop. And we just cooked some basic recipes, and oh my God, it was so much fun. I really enjoyed it, and I went, that's it. It was like, that's it, that's what I'm doing. I am going to go into people's homes and I am going to help them reorganize their kitchens, get their pantries cleared out. I'm going to look at their essentials that they have in their kitchen that they're going to be able to do cooking. I'm going to bring them shopping and we're going to spend some time cooking. I think
that is such a genius idea. Like,
no, and actually, it's funny how it just comes to you, because originally I was going, right, cooking school, having people coming to me, so on and so forth, but actually, people are way more comfortable in their own homes, and if I'm going to go to you, people are going to be way more comfortable. Like, if I was in your house, Eimear, you'd be like, okay, I don't have this, I don't have that, but if you're in a room full of other people, you don't want to put your hand up and go, I can't do this, or I can't do that, and I don't have this, and my kitchen looks like that. But if I'm with you in your kitchen, it's just everything's out on the table. We're being honest about it all, you know. So, you know, that's going to be kind of the main focus of the business. Now, there's other elements of the business as well. I'm going to be having supper clubs in my house, so you can come to my house instead of a restaurant with your friends, and I'll cook for you.
I really look forward to that.
Yeah, exactly. Or you wanted to have your girlfriends around, but you have a really busy life and you have a big family and you have your work life. And so I'll come as your chef and I'll cook for you instead.
I love you. I love you.
Yeah. So there you go. So things like that. I'm also going to be doing, and you know, part of my business isn't just about educating in the home. It's also educating about our producers, all our suppliers that we have around us. Really passionate about it. So I'm going to be doing, actually, I was supposed to be starting all of this only in the last month, but that's on hold for the moment, but food walking tours around Cork. So we'd be going through to different suppliers, and we'd also be going to some of the restaurants around Cork and trying some of their foods as well. So all different educational side of food, but food, Cork, people, family, that's basically what it's all about. And just bringing the fun back into cooking again.
The next question I have for you is that, and this is always kind of something I love to tap into with people, but having ran my own business for years, I know that it takes a very organized and dedicated mentality to build something from the ground up. And I have an enormous amount of respect for entrepreneurs in general. A lot of work, I guess, goes on behind the scenes that people just don't realize, you know. And I just wanted to kind of pick your brains and see, do you have any tips that you find helped you to stay focused, positive and driven for anyone listening who might be thinking of starting their own business?
Yeah. And I don't think this is even just starting your own business. I think this is in general as well. You know, when you're in a career as well, or just having a routine. To me, I suppose the first thing is having a routine in your life, okay? And I don't mean by a routine around work as well, but also a routine. Like, I do journaling every day. You know, the first thing I do in the morning is I write an intention for the day. I write three key actions for the day. And I will write what I'm grateful for. And sometimes I'll even write other things, you know, might have some other questions that I'll actually be pulling up as well and putting it out onto paper. And I find that really good to start your day off. I think you do a bit of journaling, don't you, as well?
I actually do it at night time. So for me, I'm not a morning person. I can never get out of bed in the morning. But at night time, when the kids go down, it's kind of my me time. And it's when I get to fit in a bit of exercise or do that bit of cooking or just prep for the next day, or just switch off and zone out, do a bit of meditation, yoga, and journaling is the last thing I do when I've all that done. And I just,
there you go.
For me at the moment, it's gratitude. So I just have a little page in a certain little notebook, and I do my gratitude journal. But the difference now, looking back, if I have a bad day, I look back on my journal, and I see that the best days I've had have certain things in common, you know, be it that bit of exercise, or I got out for a run or a walk. And
yeah,
it's lovely to have that. It definitely changes your, what you're putting out into the universe.
Oh, it does. So I'm the opposite. I do mine in the morning. I do everything in the morning. So I do all my exercise in the morning.
Okay.
So, you know, most mornings I would do a class, and I think it's fantastic. Actually, I'm finding it much easier now to fit in my classes, because I switch on my laptop and I do it in my living room. And I've got my class done. Yeah, it's amazing. And I'm working with, I'm doing classes with a couple of different, there's a fitness a club in Cork where she's actually started her new own business as well. Aura Fitness is the name of the business. And I'm doing her, she's doing a 4-week challenge. I'm doing some recipes for them. And there, and then she's doing classes every day as well. So that's fantastic that we have that. But there's loads of things. I know there's a lot of other business people that are doing yoga or different exercise classes at the moment, which is fantastic. But
the one that I found actually last week, two weeks ago, I started the Lean with Leslie one. And when I initially looked at it, I was like, she's so fit. And anyone I know that has been to her classes, like, I would see myself as way down the pecking order in fitness, you know, and I was always afraid to do it. And I don't know why I was, because with the app, in 2 weeks of just committing to it and doing it, I just feel so much better. I think it's a great time. It's kind of the silver lining all this time that we have access to all of this online, isn't it?
It is. But I think, like, you know as well as I do, if we're exercising, it's not just physical. It's what it does for us mentally. And I think there's a lot of people who don't exercise, who don't realize that the change it's going to have in you mentally is going to really affect you and affect your life in a really positive way.
I totally.
Yeah. And I'm back doing meditation as well. Now, I finish my day at the at the end of the day, 5-6 o'clock. I do a group meditation every day. So we're doing a meditation online with like 60 people from all over the world, meditation, and it's wonderful. But, you know, they're all kind of things. But, you know, besides that then as well, I think, you know, you have to have a business plan. You have to have it written out. You can change it, but you need to have it down on paper. You need to know where it is. You need to always remember your why you're doing it and what your goal is. You need to know where you're going in 6 months, in a year, where you even envisage yourself in 5 years' time. And as I said, these things can change, but you've got to have it written down. There's no point just thinking about it. You saw from my Instagram, I just cook something. It can be something really simple, Emer, but I do it every day, and I put it on my Instagram, and I'll give people the recipe. And that's just because I just want people to be cooking at home.
You're kind of connecting people through food, and that's just lovely.
Yeah, and that's it. And it's so funny. And I mean, even one of our friends, like, who never bakes, and she's been baking loads, and I'm going, who are you? It's just so lovely to see that people are actually just going, actually, I'm going to try this. I'm going to do this.
Give it a go.
And they thought they couldn't do it, and they can do it. And that's what's wonderful about it. And that's all I want at the end of the day for my business, is just to show people that, you know what, you can do it. Don't be afraid of it. Give it a go. And it's actually a lot of fun if you take the fear out of it.
What has the highlight, Clara, been of the last 12 months for you?
Well, of course, studying in Ballymaloe, but they also, I asked Irina if she wouldn't mind if I went and stayed on afterwards, or worked with them afterwards, and they were fantastic. They gave me 8 weeks working down there with the new set of students.
Oh, wow.
So I was working in every element of the business now. I was teaching the students in the kitchen, which was fantastic. I was working in the demos, and just working in the demos. With the way I saw it as a student is, you know, Rachel, Rory or Drina came on and gave us a demo. Working in the demos is, you start at 8 o'clock in the morning prepping for the demos that start at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And just seeing the amount of work that every single person in that school, all the teachers put in, all the organisation that has to go into it.
It sounds like a team effort, doesn't it?
Oh, it's unbelievable. I got to work, you know, prepping the foods for the markets that they do as well. I got to work in the bread shed, doing the breads, teaching the breads, you know, and just spend time with the teachers and really understanding the back of the, you know, what you were doing in the background. So I also got to do recipe testing as well. And the one thing I can say is that any one of the Allens who put a cookbook out, let me tell you that those recipes have been tested over and over again till it's perfect. So the recipe you get on your book is the perfect recipe. They will only put a recipe out that absolutely works. But it was just so fantastic. It also made me realize, yeah, I'm doing the right thing. I know that I want to get into the education of food. Now, you know, it's not the Ballymaloe big cookery school I want. It's a different, and you know, maybe one day I'll have a lovely little farm, and
I can still see you here.
I know, and have a smaller cookery school. But it just really, you know, for me, it was, yeah, that's it. It is education. It is food. I want this. I'm on the right path. And
which lights your fire more, baking or cooking?
Well, that's a hard question, because I think it's about actually
a bit of both, hand in hand.
Yeah, it is, because it's actually what lights my fire is watching people's faces eat my food after I've cooked it. It's watching people together. It's watching people enjoying it. It's people wanting to know the recipe. It's people wanting to learn how to do it. That's what gets me. So it's not about do I prefer this or that. I love both of them. And it's just about bringing people together, Eimear. That's it. That's what food is all about, for me. And that's what I want to bring back into everyone's home. And I think people would, you know, definitely want that as well. And especially now they're seeing it. They're seeing how together food brings a family. So,
well, I feel you're going to be so busy once this lockdown is over. You're going to be inundated.
Probably more private chefing there. Nobody will want to cook anymore, Eimear.
You'll be booked by me straight away, and all the girls over, and a big girly night. It would just be...
I know, exactly.
So what, finally, advice would you give anyone listening, say, who has that internal fire to do something, maybe even their friends and family don't even know that they have, you know? So what advice would you give them about following their passions and just going for it?
So, you know, it took me a number of years to actually make the change. Like, I've known for years that I've wanted to make a change, but I did love my career I was in as well. So it wasn't something that I was like, I have to get out of it now. But I truly believe that the reason I didn't do it, of all those other times I thought about it, is because I wasn't ready then. I think you have to be ready about it, okay? I believe if you believe in something strong enough, then I think you need to go and explore it. Go and talk to people who have changed their careers, write it out, see if it's a possibility, start getting creative. As I said, I've talked to you, Eimear, about journaling or just putting it down on paper. Yes. You know, go and meet people and have chats with people about it. You know, if there's a possibility of you doing extra courses to kind of look at it, like, I mean, I completely changed my career. You know, my last career was actually helping people change their careers. I used to, you know, work with people to change their careers. And yet, at the same time, it was something that I should have been doing for myself, which I eventually did do. But it's about really just, you know, one thing I remember telling Dorina about my idea. When you're down in Ballymaloe, right, you're surrounded by so many passionate people. So your ideas kind of come and go all the time. But I came back to the same idea that I had gone down there with. And when I talked to Dorina about it, she said, it's a great idea. And she goes, here's the advice I'm going to give you. She goes, just go and do it. Yes. So I was like, okay.
Brilliant.
That's it.
Just take all the worries away, take all the what ifs away, and just do it. And you know what? I love that advice, because there's no such, I don't believe there's any such thing as failing, because if something doesn't work out, that's the stepping stone to the next thing, and it's the learning process, you know.
But also, like, see a life coach. go and meet somebody who can give you advice that's nothing to do with your family, nothing to do with your friends, completely outside of that. I think through this of what's happening at the moment, I think there's going to be a lot of people looking for change. I think there's probably a lot of creative bubbles happening as well at the moment. And go and talk it out with somebody who's an expert, who can actually really pull it out of you, and you know, see if there's a possibility for you to do it. There are so many ways, there's so many businesses out there that can be set and started. I mean, if you look at Cork alone, how many, like, look at all the entrepreneurs we have in Cork, Emer. It's amazing, isn't it? And it's just wonderful that there are so many people who did take, to took the chance and are doing well. So that's it. I think that's it. Just go and do it.
Well, I think it's such an inspiring story. And I know, as you said, this is such a huge time of change in our history and for people personally and professionally. And I do think that, you know, taking that leap of faith is going to be a huge thing for people when all this is over. So it's lovely to hear from somebody like you who has gone through it, who plotted out, you know, how that looked for them and who is knee deep in the whole thing, in the whole process at the moment. It's really inspiring. Yeah. And I think a lot of people are afraid to take that jump, but maybe the way things are at the moment, some people will be forced to take that jump. Some people will be questioning whether, you know, they're on the right path for themselves. And it's lovely to hear your story. It's absolutely brilliant. Yeah. I wish you the best of luck with it.
Thank you so much.
Now, what I'm really excited about is our next episode.
I know.
I am really, really now looking forward to this, because we're going to get from you our kind of list of what every kitchen needs. So we're talking kitchen essentials.
We are. So our next episode, we're going to be talking about the 10 have to have items within your kitchen first. And then we're going to be talking about other essentials, depending on what you want to do in your kitchen. But this is something that I would be doing if I went into your home with you. And then I want to talk a little bit about the machines that everyone buys in their kitchen, the food processors, the mixers, some has pasta machines, some has this, some has that, but really about the types of ones that are out there, the different types of brands.
I find this so confusing. You know, I look at different cooks online and I go to make the different dishes or even to make healthy treats and that for the kids. And then I find, I'm like, oh God, I don't have that big fancy processor. So is there something else in my kitchen that I can use? And I, you know, that might not be in my budget right now, but surely there's ways around everything.
There are some things that you do need certain machines, but it's, you don't need to be spending an absolute fortune. But look, let's leave that to the next one, Emer, because it's going to be great chats next week when we talk about all of that.
So Clara, you are my first guest that I haven't had face to face, so thank you.
I know. Thank you.
In there. I can't wait to see you in real life and have a drink with you and cook lovely food and have a big hug, because this is so strange in lockdown.
I know, it
thank
really
you
is. Thank you so much. I've really enjoyed it, Emer. Thanks for having me on. And such, I hope I've inspired a few people out there today.
You are such an interesting guest. Thank you so much. And thank you to Killian Pettit on production. I know this is an unusual one for him as well, having to edit my episode while I'm not even in the studio. So thank you, Killian. He's always a rock star. So listen to this episode, any other Life Hustle episodes over on redextra.ie and everywhere else that you find your podcasts. There's some really uplifting and inspiring stories over there and lots of other fab content from Red FM. Thank you for listening. My name is Emer and this is The Life Hustle.
Thanks for listening to this Red FM podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and check out redextra.ie for more great Red FM content.